This session from the Adelaide Festival of Ideas 2011 was recorded by Radio Adelaide through the support of the Bar Smith Library, University of Adelaide, the University of South Australia Library and Flinders University Library.
Hello, welcome to this, the penultimate session of the Festival of Ideas. My name is Brenton Caffin. I'm the CEO of the Australian Centre for Social Innovation. And we're delighted to be hosting this session on Family by Family, Thriving Families, Changing Systems with Carolyn Curtis, the Director of Family by Family. I'd like to start by acknowledging that we meet on the lands of the Kaurna people and pay our respects to Elders past and present. A little bit of housekeeping before we start. If you have a mobile phone, can you please turn it to silent? Because no doubt you'd like to be doing some tweeting. Tweeting can be done at Ideas Adelaide, and the hashtag is #AFOI. And so today's speaker is Carolyn Curtis. Carolyn came to the Australian Centre for Social Innovation in May last year to join the Radical Redesign team and to work with families to discover, develop and co-design new ways to cut family stress. She's now Director of Family by Family and has a long history of working with families. For 8 years, she worked with South Australia's Department of Families and Communities in many different social work and leadership roles, most recently as a manager of an innovative service for high-risk infants called Safe Babies. Karen and I have worked together for the last 18 months, and her story, I think, is a very unique one of a person who's come from inside systems to come out and design innovation in what is a very, very difficult space. So please welcome Carolyn to the stage.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here today. Well, as Brenton said, he's already started my talk off very easily for me. My name is Carolyn Curtis and I'm the Director of Family by Family. The biggest part of my story before coming to TACSI was with Families SA and with the South Australian Child Protection System. I'm a passionate child protection worker. I loved my job and I didn't leave there because I was unhappy. I feel passionate about families, about children and outcomes for families. When I was at Families SA, I worked in a range of different roles. I started off as an investigator and from there continually got told off for spending too much time out with families and talking too much, which is not uncommon for me at all. So I found a niche for myself and specialised in babies. And from a systems standpoint, they're referred to as high-risk infants. And I loved my time working with all the babies that I got to meet. So I started as a senior social worker with a program at the time that was called Strong Families, Safe Babies. And down the track, that name was changed to Safe Babies. I then became the supervisor and manager of the high-risk infant program and then later did a stint before coming to TACSI as the manager of Woodville District Office in Mainstream Child Protection. So I guess today I'm really conscious of the title of my talk that was up before about changing systems. And it's quite fascinating the number of places I've gone to recently that have asked me to talk about how you change a system and how you fix it, particularly the child protection system of all systems. You know, so how are we going to fix that? And I think that's a really difficult question. And it's definitely not a question that we're going to answer in 35 minutes today. So I want you to walk away today with more of a sense of hope and a sense of possibility about what can be when you look at things through some different perspectives. Now, just for some background, just to set the context, you know, this really will highlight to you why I do what I do, why TACSI does what TACSI does, and why Families SA do what they do. In 2007, there were 177,000 children under the age of 18 that were reported for abuse or neglect in Australia, and that's reported. The estimated cost of that was somewhere around $10.7 billion for Australia. Between 2003 and 2008, there's been a 40% increase in notifications made to the state in relation to child abuse, and that's just in South Australia. Between 2007 and 2008, there was a total number of 20,847 child abuse notifications made to South Australia's Child Abuse Report Line. Families SA had the capacity to investigate and work with 5,000 453 of those investigations, which left 15,394 that either didn't receive a service from Families SA and were just closed due to lack of resources, or families that were referred on to other agencies for a different type of service. It's this group of families that encouraged me to move to TACSI. During my time in child protection, there was a repeated frustration that came up for me time and time again, which was when you work with these families, sometimes you even manage to keep their kids at home with them, but how do you stop another report coming in 6, 12, 18 months down the track? Because they just kept coming in. And if those families didn't have a personal network or family network bolstering them or surrounding them, the likelihood of them bouncing in was far, far higher. So with mandated notification introduced in South Australia in 1969, it was really clear that we kind of set our system up for a little bit of failure from the start. Our system, the child protection system, was never going to have the capacity to deal with the demand that was to come in down the track. So now we're in this situation where everywhere I go and everyone I talk to, you hear about the failing child protection system and the child protection system that's not doing its job or that needs to be fixed. But today I'd really like to focus on those 15,394 families that didn't receive a service from Families SA for one reason or another. Now we can view this as a problem, but for the purposes of today I'd like to view this as an opportunity. When I left Families SA, or I was actually given an opportunity to go across to TACSI on secondment, which was fantastic on my part, I was given a brief. And the brief wasn't how do we fix our existing business. The brief was how do we stop more people from showing up on our doorstep. I'm sure all of you who have had anything to do with families here, and you're all part of a family, can probably identify with the fact that having the government rock up and knock on your door is maybe not always the best way to go about it. And there's a lot of families that, you know, an alternative response would be much more appropriate. And there's a range of services that South Australia currently offered: targeted services, family support services, child development programs. But clearly, there's still some gaps that are needing to be filled. So before I left Families SA, I was told, okay, so you're going to go to this place called TACSI, the Australian Centre for Social Innovation. I'd never heard of social innovation before. I had no idea what it was, but I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. So I said, sure. Next thing, I got home and less than, you know, I reckon 20 minutes later, I had this very excitable Texan girl ring me up on the phone and say, hi, Carolyn, are you ready to come on board? And from there, it was just a whirlwind, and it's been quite an amazing 18 months. So I was working with two people by the name of Chris Vanstone, who's a designer, and Sarah Shulman, who's a sociologist, and we were using a methodology called radical redesign, which you've probably heard about before. Now, what happens when you put a dedicated social worker slash manager who's passionate about assessment and outcomes for families and child protection in the room with a designer and a sociologist? Well, a few things happened. First of all, I think I cried quite a lot. I think that I questioned over and over why I had decided to take up this opportunity, because it actually felt quite uncomfortable. And I think that my learning curve was far greater than I ever anticipated that it would be. Now, there's many areas that I could talk about in terms of my learning, but the one today that I'm going to focus on is design and this concept of design and child protection. When I was told by my manager in Families SA that I'd be working with a full-time designer, I thought, wow, we're obviously going to have some pretty special brochures. To need a full-time designer, that's great. You know, I really like good brochures, so that's exciting. And I'd never had a chance to make my own brochures in government, so I thought, well, wow, this is going to be a great opportunity, and I like making things look pretty. Needless to say, my idea of design and Chris's idea of design is quite different. And just to give you an idea, this is my idea of good design. If I was to make a radical redesign poster. I love having every letter a different colour, and I'm obsessed with text being justified, and I love stars and butterflies, and Chris, our designer, is quite horrified by this, and we have regular arguments still today about what good design is. So it was quite uncomfortable right from the start in terms of really stepping outside the box, and I found this very short little movie that really helps communicate how it felt to leave Families SA and step into Taxi. Often we throw around this term thinking outside the square or thinking outside the box, and I know I definitely use that term quite a lot. And I think we often think outside the square, but we still think within a square that's quite comfortable. And we still think within a square that, you know, we've heard about before or we know that other people have experienced. But thinking out the square or thinking outside the box for me at Taxi was really, really entering new territory. And we use the term at Taxi, you don't know what you don't know. And I really had no idea about what I was getting myself into. So I went from a world that was based around assessment, around strengths and needs, around, complex families, around a statutory court system, to one that talked about tools used within anthropology, co-design, co-production, prototyping, all these terms I'd never heard of before in my life. And as we go through, you'll get more of an understanding about what some of those terms actually mean. But we undertook a 12-month process to design something new for families and design something that they would buy into and have a sense of ownership over. So the process that we undertook started with this thing called ethnography, which is really much easier than assessment, so I figured out along the way. Basically, you hang out with families. You hang out with them, you don't need to categorise them, diagnose them, try and figure out what's wrong with them. You just spend time with them and understand their life as they live it. You experience the ups with the downs. You understand what it's like for them to walk into their local child and family health. You understand what it's like for them to visit Centrelink because you walk that journey with them. And we did this for a period of 3 months, and we worked with over 100 families in the Marion area of South Australia to really understand what family life was like. From there, we came up with some really early ideas. So this is what we've learned. The overwhelming standout theme from our time with these 100 families was social isolation. And as I'm sure most of you know, social isolation runs down the side of many other risk factors, such as drugs and alcohol, domestic violence, disability, relationship breakdown, being a new arrival to the country. But it was a standout, and it was something that the majority of families said to us is, do you know, I don't actually need another service. We don't need another service because I've got a list of them here. What I really need is a friend. Or what I really need is, I just wish I had family. Or I just wish that I had someone that I could have a cup of coffee with or cry with or go to the shops with. That was really the standout. So from that, we came up with some early ideas and we went and hung out with families and tested out these ideas with them. And the beautiful thing about families is they are so honest. So honest with you. They're very happy to tell you if they don't like something or if they'd never rock up to that thing or if that didn't make sense to them. So with families, we then developed these ideas alongside them. We then tested out these ideas using a method called prototyping, which is a design method. I guess for a lot of us in this room, we'd be more used to the term piloting or running a pilot program, which is usually over, you know, anywhere from a 6 to 12 month period, sometimes longer. And my experience of piloting was even when they did work well, often you couldn't get the money, so they often sort of stopped dead in the road. But prototyping is much quicker. Prototyping happened in a 12-week period for us, and we tested out these ideas with real time, with real people, with real interactions. And as we saw things working or not working, we'd throw them out and we'd start again. From there, it was around, okay, so we've kind of got to a place now where some things are working, but how are we going to capture that? And how are we going to measure that? And from there, it was developing the business case. So, okay, we've tested this out with roughly 20 families, but how do you go from 20 families to 100 families? And how do you go from 100 families to 200 families across South Australia or across Australia? So what is it, this thing that we came up with, this thing that Chris, Sarah and I plus 100 families of Marion, South Australia came up with? And it's called Family by Family, and I'm sure many of you have heard a little bit about it already. So Family by Family combines social work, it combines service design with sociology, with business, with management, with leadership, with the views, experience and knowledge of over 100 families. And it's probably that experience and the knowledge that those families bring to Family by Family which is by far the most important. So what's different about this? Because often when I start to explain it, I've had many comments about, oh, yep, you know, when back 20 years ago, these were the sorts of community development projects we had. This is what we used to have. It's good to see that we're getting back to that. Well, as opposed to reinventing the wheel, how do we reinvent it but a whole layer above that and create something new and exciting? So when it comes to what's different about Family by Family, there's a few things that stand out to me. It's the intentionality behind every aspect of it. Everything happens for a reason, whether that be a dinner, whether that be a brochure, whether that be an activity. There is a reason behind everything we do. The focus on outcomes and behaviour change. I'm not interested in how many people turn up to an event. I'm not interested in how many families we introduce to each other. I'm interested in what happens as a result of that. So we too often get stuck with outputs. And yes, outcomes for families are really hard to measure. And measuring behaviour change for families is even more difficult, but it's the stuff we need to get at. It's what's important and it's what's going to help this grow. The language and materials that we use, and there's some materials up the back for you to grab on the way out, but the look and feel of things, the words we use, are families' words. Hence, I tend to use the word stuff constantly, and it's because it's all I hear all the time, stuff. Oh, you know that stuff I was talking about, so apologies for my stuff. But the materials that we have, they're not polished, they're not beautiful, they're not printed on glossy paper. They're raw. They speak to families. They're playful. Family by families for whole families, and whole family being whoever your main people are. So it doesn't have to be a mum and dad and two kids. It might be an auntie and a little one she's looking after. It might be grandparents. It might be six kids and a dad. Auntie is whoever that family call family. And last of all, and probably most importantly, it's designed by families. So yes, more resource goes in initially in terms of prototyping and chucking stuff out and spending lots of time getting it right to start with, but you're saving so much time down the track in terms of having to recreate something 5 years later when you finally come to terms with the fact that it's not working. So what is it? Family by family. We find two groups of families. We're looking for families that have been through tough times and come out the other side. We refer to these families often as the positive deviants of society. And we link them up with families that are still struggling, putting one foot in front of the other. It might be drugs, alcohol. They might have come out of a DV relationship. They might just be unhappy. They might have had a relationship breakdown in their house. They may be struggling to manage their kids' behaviour or have a disability that they're coping with. But for one reason or another, their life isn't where they want it to be. And we put these two families together and we look at what happens when you add those two families together through sharing stories and experiences, through role modelling behaviour, through active listening, through going out and having fun together, and through these families meeting new people and visiting new places. So these families, the families that have come out the other side of some tough times and doing really well now, we call sharing families. They have something they want to share. They've learnt from their tough times and they're ready to give back. The other families that aren't quite there yet and have really got something they'd like to change, we call seeking families. So how do we find them? We have events, all sorts of events. And this is a photograph of one of our sharing mums, Rihanna, having a sausage sizzle out the front of Coles. We don't ask families to come to us, we put ourselves in their space. So this might be supermarkets, it might be schools, it might be hardware stores, furniture stores. We go to them and we offer a range of developmental activities. We call them pop-up stalls. And we provide an experience for the family. So most recently we had a pop-up stall at Castle Plaza whereby the kids could come and paint their own mask. And parents were looking for this. They were looking for a way that their kids could do something exciting, something fun, that was not going to take so long and also wasn't going to cost a lot of money. And we find both groups of families through very similar methods. As well as this type of recruitment, we also have referral pathways. So we did do quite a lot of work with Families SA, with schools, and with Department of Health during our prototype to look at how we could best support the families interfacing with their services as well. After that, it's really important that we train our sharing families, so the families that are going to provide the mentoring. So we don't want to turn them into mini social workers. We just want to learn how to pull out their already fantastic natural abilities and bring them more to the surface. So we start off by taking them away on camp. We do a range, we employ storytellers, we play games, we paint, we go on walks, but most importantly and probably the key part to the training is scenario-based and around working through different scenarios and acting out what could happen in different circumstances. And most importantly with the training is keeping the focus on change. We want these families to be more than friends. We want them to enable change. We want them to help these seeking families make the changes they want to make. From there, after they get back from camp, we link them up. So we put the power back with the families. Every family has their own profile. And seeking families get to choose who they hang out with and who they link up with. One link up is 10 weeks. But for some families, 10 weeks doesn't even scratch the surface. So a family can have anywhere from 1 to 3 link ups, which is 30 weeks all up. It's with the support that we introduce the professional role, and this is what we call a family coach. The family coach is not a service provider. They're very much in the background, coaching, mentoring, inspiring our sharing families. And this role is vital. It's keeping the focus on change, so it's making sure that we're more than a friendship program. And it's there to troubleshoot. They're there to manage any risk that might come up. They're there to, you know, help families get through the tough times. They're there to also help sharing families achieve their own family goals. And then lastly, how do we capture all of this? So how do we measure it? And we actually tried 15 different versions of measurement. And we ended up with stickers. And it so turns out that families love stickers. And we have these sticker sheets that you'll see up on the slide there. And the sticker sheets are introduced at different intervals in the link up to help a family mark what's changed for them, what hasn't, what's gotten worse, because that's always an option, or what's better or what would they still like to improve on. As well as measurement in this form, we've just employed an external evaluator that will be taking more a traditional sort of focus group, observational, ethnographic approach in terms of making sure that A, family by family works, but what we're more interested in is who does it work for, why does it work, and in what context does it work. And then what do we do after the link up? Do families just go back to life before family by family? Do they stay friends? Do they visit new services that they've met along the way? Are they better? Are they worse? What does that look like? And I guess what we're really interested in with family by family is creating more of a movement, that things don't just revert back and that they're not just cut loose once their link up finishes, but that they're embraced and that they're still brought along on a journey with family by family. So we have a range of events, or more so experiences, that we're about to start developing, that every month there's an opportunity for that family to come, hang out with other families, some of whom will be familiar, some of whom won't, and experience something that they wouldn't otherwise get to experience. And this will obviously have a developmental feel to it, and it will be something for the whole family.
No, not at all.
Far from it.
Okay. So now, I'm going to let you hear from the important people, which is the families themselves and also some of our partners that have been key in developing Family by Family. Obviously, this wasn't a normal process for families to undertake, and it had its ups and downs, but you're about to hear from some of our families who were part of the prototype and part of designing Family by Family. And this will give you a bit more of an insight as to how we got here and what worked, what didn't, and what some of the views of our partners are.
No, not at all.
Far from it.
Okay. No, we would not volunteer for anything.
Ever?
Normally? Not at all.
No, so we just don't get involved in things. We really don't. For some reason, we just choose not to get involved in a lot of different community-type activities, because a lot of the time they're really, I don't know, they almost seem political, where it's about, you know, who runs it, and you have to answer to this one, and you have to do that, and you're not allowed to say this, and they don't actually want any input. Like, if you go get involved and you go, oh, I reckon that could be done better, they don't care what you think, they just want you to do what you're told. But with this, it was all about what we thought.
This started where families were at. It didn't actually go in with a predetermined solution and an established program saying, you know, family, you have a particular problem, it needs to be fixed, and here we are as a professional with a solution for you. If we apply this solution, your problem will be fixed.
If policy is going to work, if it's going to be about enabling people to live different lives, then we've got to figure out what people actually need and want and prototype that stuff first before we put in place all of the structures and systems. In the look phase, we're trying to answer the question, what would be a great outcome for people? And to do that, we have to hang out with people, and that's what are known as ethnographic methods. That's trying to figure out what makes people tick, what motivates them, what excites them, what gets them up in the morning.
You are just with, you're just being with that family, and living a day as they live it, experiencing a day as they do, and understanding what the ups and downs look like.
Part of the learning was, for me, was to learn what an ethnography was and how I would apply that. It was quite a scary process, really, because that involved having to actually to walk the client's journey, and this was a bit of a displacement of power, I guess.
One of the most important things that I've learnt from this project is the element of prototyping. And if I can explain it in my own words, I understand it as something where you actually, you can try and you test something with the people that you're working with, and you get to test it and test it over again until something works.
This paper prototyping, where you might create a storyboard and put that in front of somebody and ask them to imagine themselves in that situation. And then there's experience prototyping, and experience prototyping is where you really learn the most because you try out something like a mini version of something or a live version of something over a period of time. So in Family by Family, we hired new staff, we recruited families, we connected them up in link-ups, and those link-ups ran for around 12 weeks. And from that real live experience, we were able to see what worked and keep changing things.
On a Wednesday night dinner, for instance, they'd come and say, look, we've thought of all these things, what do you guys reckon? And we'd all say, no, we don't agree with this, or this one's really great, or maybe change this one a bit. And then next week, they come back and go, see, this is what we did. And it was like, hey, they actually listened, like, we said that wasn't a great idea, and they actually paid attention. And that was a pretty big deal. There were a few nights we went home and went, oh my God, that was our idea.
It's probably one of the few, if not the only, programs I've ever seen that's actually allowed that sort of developmental process to go through, you know, over many months. And so somebody sitting a little bit on the outside watching this occur, it was fascinating. But on the other hand, it could be a bit frustrating because you kept on thinking, gosh, that was a pretty good methodology or set of materials or resources you put together to work with these families. Gosh, I'd just be running with that. And then suddenly you gave time for that, for families to sort of pick the eyes out of it and say, yeah, parts of that really worked and other parts were crap.
In the value phase, we're trying to answer the question, what would it take for our prototype solution to actually grow and affect more people? And so that means telling the business case story of it. So that's, what kind of social impact are we creating? What kind of cost savings emerge from working in this way in the long term? And the second is the emotional story. So using film and more ethnographic kinds of techniques to really let people know what was the experience like of being part of this solution and why does it need to exist.
Being part of the prototype, it's been awesome because I feel like we've had, you know, a say in how things are going to end up being, you know, when it goes through. And I think that's just amazing because who else is better to help with all of that kind of stuff. There's been a few little hiccups and stuff.
It has challenged me personally and professionally in every way a person could be challenged. It's right from the start, I'm assessment versus ethnography and writing a policy versus co-design and prototyping versus piloting, throwing things out as quickly as you make them. It's just really starting from the bottom up, and I really, really understand now, and I think it's taken me the full 12 months, but I do really understand the potential that exists when you design and you create something with your end user versus creating something for them that you think will fit them best.
Whilst it can be frustrating at one level to sort of have to sit back and wait for something to develop over time like this, it makes eminent sense that that's exactly what we should be doing in social policy construction, that we shouldn't be jumping to solutions that are half-baked and often don't have any evidence to sort of back them up, and we should actually give ourselves the time and space not just to actually develop the right programs, but to sit and actually listen to the experts. And the experts are not generally the people that have got professional backgrounds in this arena. The experts are families.
We were just as much developing it as much as the coordinators were, you know what I mean? As well as the other families. And that, I mean, you know, if you can make something like that work and get some of your ideas across, hopefully good ideas across, you know what I mean, and implement some of them, you know what I mean? I think it's, like I've said before, it's the ultimate in giving back, you know what I mean? It's absolute gold.
So that's a few of our families that we got to work with during the prototype. And I think it was a really transformative experience for everyone that was involved, particularly for myself that came from quite a traditional social work background. Understanding the value of being open to different methodologies and different ways about thinking about things, throwing your ego out the window and just really taking it back to the families. And even now, every time I feel lost with something, every time I'm not sure what direction to go, I'll ring up a family or I will go visit a family and have a conversation, and that normally sorts it out very quickly what the answer should be. So where are we at now? Obviously, coming up with a great idea is one thing, but moving forwards from there is a completely different picture, and that's where we're up to now. TACSI have secured funding for the next 2 years to really explore the potential of family by family. We've got a range of partners who are excited in investing in innovation. They're open to something not working. They're open to it not working in the end, but learning from that. So going forwards, we're now just up and running in Marion and through Inner South, and then we will also be moving out to Playford. So we're actually heading off on camp in 2 weeks' time to train up our sharing families for Marion. And between now and Christmas, we'll be scoping out the Playford area to get up and running there in January. I guess it's really important for us that we don't just pick something up that worked in Marion and plonk it in Playford and hope for the best, which is why the scoping is so important. We'll take all the materials, the games, the ideas, the words out to Playford, and we'll spend around 8 weeks just hanging out with people in Playford, finding out what they like, what they don't, where are the cool places for families to go, what works for them, what doesn't. So then we can mould family by family to fit specific communities. The underlying values and principles will stay the same, but there are some parts that are pliable and can specifically fit to different communities. So I guess in relation to the system and in relation to what I've learnt, if I was to go back tomorrow, I would do things very differently. I think that research and looking at international research is vital, and I think it's really important, and there's been a big part of that in what we've done, and everything we've learnt from families we've then gone back and tested and looked at the research. But I guess it's not running on that alone, And it's actually testing out that assumption that might have worked in the UK or in the US or in Melbourne or in New South Wales, and actually testing it out with the community you're working with to really understand if it's going to take flight here or whether we're actually after a different solution. Family by family is definitely not a magic cure. It's not an instead of, it's not a replacement. This isn't the new solution to child protection. This is something that complements. It's a possible solution for part of that 15,354 group that are currently referred off to targeted services or just closed or a range of other services. This is something different for them to try. And it was quite amazing during our prototype, the uptake with families that had open child protection files. They actually grabbed hold of this very quickly and got a huge amount out of it. So going forwards, we're really excited to see what the potential is with family by family and who it works for, who it doesn't, and then build on from there. So I guess I'd like to, before we open it up to questions, leave you with this thought. There's increasing opportunities slowly, very slowly opening up around Australia to think about things differently through things like the Festival of Ideas, through the Australian Centre for Social Innovation, through social entrepreneurs that are popping up all over the place and universities that are slowly opening their minds to social innovation. If everyone in this room, our government and non-government friends, our families and communities, even encountered a small part of what has become family by family, then imagine what the possibilities could be. So thank you for having me today, and I'd like to open you up to any questions.
Sorry, thank you, Carolyn. Any questions?
Thinking of myself, say, as a possible sharing family, my family, I'd feel a lot of trepidation about going from having recovered from hard times into contacting people who are still suffering. And do you know anything?
Yeah, and that's something that we've thought a lot about. How do we stop families from then going backwards once they're doing so well? If we connect them with someone that's not doing well, are they then going to go backwards again? That was a strong consideration for us. And I guess the amazing thing was that we noticed the direct opposite. And it was around the value proposition. If you approach a family, and I'll use an example, one of our sharing families is a young mum. She had her first baby at 14. She's experienced mental health, relationship breakdown. She spent periods of time in foster care, but she's now a personal trainer. She's doing really well. She's employed. She's got a fabulous relationship with her little girl. And obviously there are vulnerabilities there. But when we approached her and we said, you know what? We think you're an awesome family. We think you've got a huge amount that you could teach other people and show other people. Then just the sense of confidence and just valuing her as a mum and them as a family was huge. And now she's gone on to do further study. She's continuing with family by family. She's done public speaking roles for us. And I guess that also is where the role of the coach is really important. If ever there's something that's coming up that's feeling a bit uncomfortable or that's taking you back to a space in your life that wasn't particularly a fond memory, that's what you've got your coach there for, and they're available for you to work through at any time, something that you might need to chat about. But I think it was really interesting to see that all of our families, every single sharing family, have made noticeable, I guess, changes to their life again since becoming involved with family by family. And for a lot of them, it was around employment, study, and just valuing them as a family and what that actually meant to them has been huge.
Carolyn, when I first heard about family by family, I just thought, wouldn't this be great for families that arrive on humanitarian visas or who are here in community detention settings? I was just wondering if you've had any experience with connections between those families.
With the prototype, we worked with both seeking and sharing families that were fairly new to the country. And my hunch, it's still a little too early to say, but my hunch is that this is one of the spaces it will work best in. The uptake was huge, and even in our recruitment last weekend, it was very popular amongst new arrivals to the country. They didn't want to link up with someone of the same culture or background. They wanted to link up with an Australian family who could show them the sights, who could introduce them to people, who could talk to them about how you parent a child in Australia. What does a birthday party look like in Australia? What do you do when your kid's naughty in Australia? How do you get your kid to school? How do you involve yourself in the school community in Australia? And so it was very popular, and we got some amazing results with our new arrival families in the prototype, and I think it's quite exciting to see what that looks like going forwards.
I'm really happy to hear that. Did you need to involve interpreters?
No. We got pretty close. I think that we will. I definitely think that we will. There was one family where English was a little bit of a struggle, but her sharing family was quite remarkable, and they found this whole new way to communicate. And it all started off one day where they sat around a table, a kitchen table, and started doing scrapbooking. And just through identifying what this mum was pulling out of magazines and the colours and the activities and things, they learned a huge amount from each other, and from there no longer wanted to follow through with an interpreter. The sharing mum helped get her into English classes, involved in TAFE, helped set her up amongst a new community of people.
Who are you using, and who do you see as possible coaches? Where do you see the coaches being drawn from?
Oh, well, this is exciting. Some of them are here today. Stand up. Come on. So this is Danielle Madsen, and this is Lauren Simpson. Do you mind if I tell them a bit about you? No? Okay. So we thought differently about this. One of the most important things, I played the role of the coach in the prototype, and it was interesting. Yes, you need that knowledge base. You need that background. You need to understand behaviour. You need to understand attachment, relationships, family dynamics, child development. That is important. But there is a whole other skill set that's very important, and that is around a natural motivational style, an ability to connect and identify with families, allowing yourself to give of yourself and not have that harsh professional wall up. Family by Family talks about blurring the boundaries of personal and professional. So we talk about our own families, we talk about our own experiences, and that's actually encouraged with Family by Family. Now, Danielle is a family coach, and Danielle has a background of working, she worked at Life Without Barriers and ran therapeutic art programs for children under guardianship of the minister. And before coming to TACSI, was at Baptist Care working with a similar population group. Danielle's degree is in visual arts. It's not in social work, but she's acquired that knowledge base from an alternative route. So Danielle started with us 3 weeks ago-ish. Lauren. Now, Lauren is actually a kids coach, and I didn't mention this in the main presentation, but kids have a really important role to play in this. Kids are instrumental in families and how families operate, and kids can have a really strong sense of leadership and responsibility if it's drawn out. So we've employed Lauren, who has a background in teaching and early childhood, to help us develop, you know, curriculum's kind of a stale word, but I'm going to use it, a curriculum around what this can look like for kids, what activities, what conversations, what games can we play with kids to help draw out these natural leadership abilities within them, and their ability to be able to role model behaviour for other kids, teach other kids games, and most importantly, impact on the values that they operate on. So one of the main things that we talked to kids about in the prototype was the fact that everyone has a story, and everybody's story is different. And sometimes people do some pretty weird stuff, and some stuff that you don't often like, and that often that's about their story, and it's about the big story that sits behind them. And it was amazing to see how much kids changed and their level of acceptance changed just throughout that sort of 4-month period. So that's our coaches here today.
You can go again.
Thank you, Carolyn. Just in my experience of working with families that are being caught up in child protection systems, I also heard what you were saying, that they said, look, you're lovely and I'm appreciating the time that you're spending with us, but what I really need is a friend or my family. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they talked to me about was, you know, you need to report to Families SA, or, you know, we know that you communicate with them. And then Families SA seems to be sort of in the middle of true friends and, you know, this professional setting. So what do you think are the Seeking Families' understanding of communication between the program and Families SA?
Yep, great question. We're really explicit about this. First of all of the sharing families that come into Family by Family are police checked, and they know that. They sign up for that. They are educated about mandated notification. However, the mandatory responsibilities sit with the coach. So we ask that if something comes up that's a little bit, you know, not sitting quite right, or they're concerned about something, that they have a conversation with the coach. And if a notification's required, that will happen through the coach. We talk to Seeking Families about this. We're very upfront about it. But I guess it's just different if I explain it to them versus if another family explains it to them. It's quite amazing. It hasn't seemed to have turned anyone off. In our prototype, we just started working with this family, and about 3 weeks after we started working with them, their kids were removed. It was quite traumatic for everyone involved. Through a commitment from the sharing family, the kids were actually returned. And the family know that the department's still very much in the background and could, you know, things could happen again in the future. But just through the power of support of another family and having another family advocate for you, that really made such a big difference. Any other questions? Nope. All right, well, I will let you all go so you can go and to the next presentation.
Can you please thank Carolyn again once? Thank you very much.
This session from the Adelaide Festival of Ideas 2011 was recorded by Radio Adelaide through the support of the Bar Smith Library, University of Adelaide, the University of South Australia Library, and Flinders University Library.